we have an oven, a pizza oven, and a microwave, just to let you know, and it's a full kitchen. And I have five trays. I have a tray of turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, sweet potatoes, and then peas and corn in the same tray, but with a divider in between them.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, Lydia, now, is there a regular oven there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Lydia, what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, make sure that everything has enough moisture in there when you're putting it in the oven. You're going to heat everything in the oven, or you're going to do some top of the stove heating up?
I thought I would do most of the dishes in the oven. They'll fit the four of the trays, and I'll reheat the gravy on the stove top. And then the sweet potatoes have, like, little mini marshmallows on them. I'm going to do that in the pizza oven, or try to.
Oh, that's great. Well, the pizza oven is great. The pizza oven is great also for the turkey. Just cover it with foil paper. Make sure it remains covered until, you know, the kind of, and it has enough liquid on the bottom, whether it's a little stock or so that when it heats up, the steam permeates the bird and reheats it on the inside without drying it. And then in the last 10 minutes before you serve it, uncover it and let it get that crust again.
Okay, so make sure there's liquid. Add a little bit of liquid into everything before I reheat it.
Yeah, for the exception of the potatoes, they don't need it. You know, you cover it with the foil paper. They don't need liquid. You have the corn and all of that. I think that should have enough liquid or butter, but a little bit of stock, not much.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. We'll make sure that nothing sticks on you, and then what happens is that it does steam, and that's what heats whatever you have in there on top of it.
Okay. It's going to make the turkey so moist, you will not believe it.
Now, what do I do if they get a call?
I think what would be cute, you just make them a to-go sandwich. What can I tell you?
pick up a lot of bread on your way up.
That's a great
okay?
idea.
Hey, well, listen, this is so noble of you. Enjoy. Give the firemen our best. And happy Thanksgiving.
I will. Thanks so much, you guys.
Thank you, Heather. Have a great one. And happy Thanksgiving to all those guys up in Duluth.
You bet.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant,
that's so
Lydia.
Wonderful.
We have Emily in Cleveland. Emily, hi. What's on your mind?
Hi, Lynn. It's an honor to talk to you.
Well, thank you.
So we have a mixed Thanksgiving this year, and what I mean by that is vegetarians and carnivores. And I am one of the vegetarians, as is my boyfriend. And, of course, the best part about Thanksgiving is gravy. Now, every vegetarian gravy I've ever had has been totally disappointing, and I'm hoping that you can help us make a mushroom gravy that's going to rival the turkey gravy.
Oh, I think that's possible. What do you think, Lydia?
Well, I think, you know, you go the same procedure. Take some carrots, some celery, some onions, a few garlic cloves. You brown them. You put stock in there, all the seasoning, herbs that you have. The one ingredient that will give you that sort of almost meaty gravy but no meat at all is dry porcini mushrooms.
That's a great idea.
Get yourself some dry mushrooms, chop it up, crush them up or whatever, put them in with all of these vegetables with the stock, and you proceed to roast it nice. First, you cover it, let it steam, let it cook all these vegetables, then uncover them, let them get all that nice color, and let them reduce, and then you kind of mash them all up and pass them through a sieve, and you'll get a great gravy. Of course, taste it, season it, a little salt, a little, you know, I don't use a lot of butter, but at the end, if you like the butter, you add that at the very end.
One other thing you might want to do to get a deep flavor, what do you think of this idea, Lydia, that once you've got them sautéed, pour in some red wine. Because it's like the porcini, it's loaded with umami, it's going to open up flavors.
Absolutely.
Simmer it down to nothing. Because that's going to build this really intense flavor that you'll have. And the browning is the other big key. You're going to love this gravy.
That sounds amazing. Do you soak the mushrooms ahead of time or powder them? Or how do you use
them? You can put them in a little processor and just get them powdered so you get a lot of into the sauce. A lot of them rather than just the flavor. And just then add them with the vegetables, add them with the wine. I think, you know, Lynn, the wine will add that other dimension. And just let it first cook all, let all the alcohol cook out, then let it reduce, brown. And then you can, you know, you want it to get a brown, you want it to get almost that stick into the pan good, you can add some stock after that. So you get that stickiness, you add some more stock, and that loosens all up, all those little particles, and that's what your gravy is.
It's going to be fabulous, Pamela. Absolutely fabulous.
Just as good as the meat gravy. Maybe we'll even trick some people into thinking.
you could pass that for the meat gravy, I'm sure.
Sorry, I called you Pamela. Hey, have a great Thanksgiving.
You too. Thanks so much.
Lydia, Pamela is in Cincinnati, and she's up next. Pamela?
Hello?
Hi, you're up next. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You are welcome.
We ate our turkey last night and decided we'd be smart and slice it up and just then heat it up for the guests when they came so we wouldn't have a big mess. The problem is even though we put the meat thermometer in and it said it was about 170 degrees, when we sliced it, there were some pieces that were still a little pink. And so now I don't know if we can just put it in right before the guests come.
It is, Pam, it is perfect. You couldn't have done it better.
That's good to hear.
No, really, because so
slice it, put it back in, you know, slice with a little bit of gravy, with a little bit of just enough liquid. You can cover it up a little bit so it steams. It's going to finish cooking, and it's going to be perfectly juicy. Had you cooked it to the end, it would have been dry when you reheated it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to hear. So what temperature should I put it on when I go to reheat it?
Depends on how long you want to leave it in there, but a low temperature, you know, 375 is perfect. Leave it a little longer, just go back and forth and taste it. 375 is perfect. I don't know how much you have, but I would say in 20 minutes to half an hour, you should have everything back to temperature and cooked and heated up.
Oh, good. So no one's going to drop dead for my turkey tonight.
No, but you're not going to lose a soul, except that they'll probably just groan
or
and slip
death,
under the table of pleasure.
Like everything else, hopefully. Yes. Anyway, well, great. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Have a great one.
You too.
Carol is calling in from Des Moines. Carol, what's on your mind?
Good morning. I keep hearing about a particular way to cook a turkey, which is called spatchcocking, and it looks like it's got a lot to recommend it. So I'm going to try that unless you stop me.
I don't think we're going to stop you at all.
No. What is that system, that cooking style again?
It's called spatchcocking, and what we used to call it is butterflying.
Oh,
the idea is you remove the backbone of the bird, which, by the way, can go in the pot to make the gravy, you know, with broth and whatever, and then you open it up like a book. You've got it skin side down on a counter, and you open it up like a book, and you press it back, and you actually try to kind of crack that breastbone a little bit so it flattens out. And then what you do is you put it skin side up in a pan, and what I like to do, Carol, is I slice up onion and carrot and celery. That becomes my rack. Because it adds great flavor to the pan. But now what you have is all the skin is exposed. And you, because it's no longer this big dome of a bird, what you're really doing here is you're cooking something that is going to be less dense, so it'll cook faster.
Yes.
So,
okay.
Yeah, and it's a great way to do it. If you haven't brined the bird, I like to do it slow at about 325. Does that make sense to you, Lydia?
Absolutely. And you know what I would recommend? That you kind of cut it off at the thigh and leg part, because that takes longer to cook. So if you can detach that, and maybe, you know, when you test it, test both the leg and the thigh and test the breast for temperature, you might want to pull out the breast before.
Yeah, that's great. And this makes it very easy to do. And then, of course, if the skin isn't brown enough, you can put it under the broiler, but watch it like a hawk. And you can try Lydia's trick of brushing it with the balsamic vinegar,
yes,
which would be fabulous. And
yes,
baste it however you want to baste it. But the real fun here is you let it rest about 20 minutes, a half hour, and then slice it. You could bring it to the table, but I like to get the breast, just carve it right from the bone, put it on the cutting board, slice it. It'll be juicy as all get out. And just arrange the whole platter in the kitchen. And then take the pan juices, make the gravy, drizzle a little gravy on it and bring it out. And it'll look beautiful. You'll have the breast fanned, and then you'll have the thigh and the leg meat. It'll just be gorgeous.
You know, we do chicken like that. I've never done turkey. I'm going to consider it next year.
This is Bon Appetit's great trick for this Thanksgiving, by the way, spatchcocking. So,
okay.
You're going to have a blast with this, Carol. It's going to work.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Ciao.
Ciao. Michael in Washington, D.C. Michael, hi. What do you want to talk about?
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Sure, wonderful. I'm so happy to talk with you. I listen to you every weekend.
Thank you.
Here's what's going on. I have celiac disease, and I am making a bunch of gluten-free things for Thanksgiving. I am making a gluten-free crawfish pie from the Emerald Girls Cookbook.
Right.
I've never made it before. It says to make, a gluten-free pie crust from scratch. Being lazy, I went and bought a bunch of Whole Foods gluten-free frozen pie crust.
Right.
It says in the recipe to blind bake the pie crust from scratch. Do I need to blind bake the frozen pie crust that I bought that are pre-made?
Lydia, what do you think?
Yes, absolutely. I think, that prevents it. First of all, the crayfish, takes a very short time to cook.
Right.
And so you want the crust to be nice and crispy, and it sort of prevents it from really remaining soggy. So
right.
Absolutely, pre-bake it first.
Great. So about 15 minutes, you think?
When you see it nice and crispy, will you put some beans, dry beans in there, all that to protect it so it doesn't get too burned?
It says you can do that, yes.
But I would take it halfway out so that you do get a crispiness on the inside as well. Because
okay.
I think what's important here that it's nice and crunchy, that it doesn't get soggy.
And just remember to line it with a bit of foil and then weigh it down with the beans or the rice or whatever. And then what you can do is give it about, maybe at 400, maybe 8 minutes, and then gently peel back that tin foil to see if it's starting to look dry. Right, Lydia? Because that means it's starting to get that crispness that you want. And you don't want to go all the way, because you're going to bake it again.
Right.
But the idea is that you want to have it dried out. That's the whole key.
I see. So once these frozen pie shells have thawed, weigh it down.
I think you could even put it in frozen.
Oh, you can.
Yeah, it's going to take a little longer, but you could get away with that.
Yeah, I think it might even get a better result because you form the crust on the outside, and in the inside you'll still have a little bit of cooking time. So when you refill it and put it in the oven, it will finish cooking.
Fantastic. So at 400 for about 15 minutes, check in about 8 minutes?
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And you just want to get it dry. That's the deal.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Enjoy.
It's a pleasure, and I'm honored that you took my call. Happy Thanksgiving.
We're honored you called. Thank you.
Bye.
You can reach Lydia at 800-242-2828. And by the way, spatchcocking? Spatchcock was one of the things on our Splendid Table Turkey Confidential bingo game. Check out splendidtable.org, and you can play along with the show. Okay, Laura in Ketchikan, Alaska. Laura.
You did very well. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So, got a question for Lydia?
I do. It's basically a timing problem. I have to bring three side dishes, deviled eggs, candied yams, and bacon-wrapped shrimp. And I don't know what order to prepare these things in so they all arrive at their best.
Well, I think the deviled eggs is something that you can leave. That is just filling the eggs, and even if you put a little bit of saran wrap over it and all of that, that will keep. So I wouldn't worry about that. And if you feel that you're pressured for time, I would even do that first and then let it rest and then come back. The yams is a timing in the oven. I mean, you could pre-cook them and then just the last minute put them in and in the oven. Mm-hmm. The shrimp, on the other hand, how are you going to prepare them?
I was going to wrap them in bacon with a little orange glaze and broil them off.
Ooh,
okay,
lovely.
Well, they are the touchiest. So you leave that for the last.
Okay.
In the sense, the thing that you're going to pay attention, because the yams in the oven, nice and hot, uncover, they get a nice crisp crust, you're fine. The eggs you can fill before and you can present them. So leave the shrimps for the last. Take care of them so you don't overcook them. Make them nice and crispy and juicy.
Oh, very good. So that will help me for today. Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Enjoy.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You are a master, Lydia. Absolutely a master. We've got Jennifer in Tupper Lake, New York. Jennifer, what's up?
Hi, thank you, ladies, for taking my call.
You are welcome.
I speak with both of you. My life changed when I owned How to Eat Weekends, and I went from a schlep in the kitchen to loving my kitchen, and I'm making everything all the time. I'm thrilled. Thank you.
You are welcome.
So, yeah, here's my dilemma. Like Lydia, who throws Italian into all of her dishes, I'm a Southern girl up north, and I'm throwing Southern into everything that I do. And my husband loves the root mash of turnips and parsnips and potatoes. And I am cooking everything as much ahead of time and listening to Splendid Table in podcast over and over again. But so I'm making the 40 garlic turkey and the whole nine yards. I was so tired last night, I left that root mash in my cast iron skillet because I had pan roasted them just to get
right, myself some time. Right.
And when I woke up this morning, I thought, ooh, maybe not a good idea. There was a little bit of rust around the very top of the pan, but not into the vegetables at all. And I noticed a little hint of maybe overly irony smell, but not to override a turnip. I can still smell the turnips through it. Do I recook these or can I save them?
Well, first of all, taste them. What do they taste like?
Because they taste like turnips and parsnips and potatoes cooked in a cast iron skillet.
Okay, so there's that metallic quality to them?
But not over the top. I can still taste.
You know,
it's all right. It's okay. I mean, I'm eating one now, obviously, and talking with my mouth full.
Right.
I apologize. But, you know, added garlic, a little bit of red pepper flake, my broth from my turkey neck and everything I made 2 days ago, that's in there.
You're making us very hungry, I have to tell you, Jennifer.
if it's overly irony, you know, if it has a lot of iron in your mouth, you feel the metal in your mouth, then I would redo them. If you feel just a light, I would maybe do some additional mashed potatoes or something and kind of fold it in, make it like
a rocky mash
that's exactly situation.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, dilute it. And you could even boil up, you know, some of the turnips, the parsnips, in so many
and
words.
And add them.
Yeah, and add them. And it'll dilute it. And then with the broth and the wonderful garlic and whatever, I think you're going to have a great dish. You're going to be okay.
I do too. This is going to, we do something great every year, but this is my Len Rosetta Casper over the top Thanksgiving, and I've just I made that dark molasses cake with your icing that I believe you said when I was reading that you invented with that tangy and cooking it down with that cream cheese.
Right, right.
Over. That is one of the best cakes I've ever had. And I love molasses, but not a crazy fiend about it. But I can't keep it. They've already cut into it. It's 3/4, you know, it's dented hard. That's what I recommend to everybody. But thank you. Thank you so much, ladies.
Enjoy.
Jennifer, you have a fabulous Thanksgiving.
You as well.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
We have a quick Facebook question for Lynn or Lydia. Okay, Lydia, let's put our heads together here.
Sure.
Pamela wants to know, what do you think about putting potatoes into the dressing? My family always does. We're Western European. I think it's a dynamite idea, don't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it gives you that kind of a viscosity, if you will, or complexity. And, you know, you can minimize the fats, certainly.
You know, I think one of the other things is that when people say, oh, what do I do if someone is, you know, is gluten-free and can't eat any kind of wheat? Potatoes are fabulous in a stuffing, and they can be in chunks. They could be mashed. You know, one of the things that's wonderful with potatoes, you know, is saute greens with a lot of garlic and mix them in with the potatoes.
Absolutely. But while we're talking potatoes, how about a little squash cut up? How about a little yams cut up? All of that is great.
Absolutely. Okay. Pamela, let me tell you, you can go in any direction you want.
There you go.
Go for it, girl. Not a problem. One quick one here. We have Sarah from New Orleans. Sarah, we have a few moments. What's your question?
Hi, yeah, we picked up a deep-fried turkey early this morning, and we're not going to be eating until this evening. So I'm wondering how to reheat it so that we get the yummy, like, crispy skin while not drying the bird out. Again, it's a deep-fried turkey.
Well, you know, sort of, when anything fried, it's best when it comes out of the fryer. But I would say a very hot oven, nice and dry, the turkey, you know, no stock or any place, and just first I would, because it's a whole, is it completely cold?
Yes, it is, unfortunately.
So then you have to cover it with the foil, let a little bit of steam inside, get it heat inside. At that point, I would put a little stock underneath, but I would put like a little rack, so the bird doesn't sit in that. And then uncover the foil in high temperature and let the oven dry all that skin out and bring it back to its crispness.
Okay, thank you.
It's going to be fabulous.
Awesome, thanks.
Okay, enjoy.
Lydia, you've made our Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for joining us.
Happy Thanksgiving, Lynn.
And to you and the family, and we will have that bottle of wine.
Okay. Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
That was Lydia Bastianich. Now, be sure to check out her latest book, Lydia's Common Sense Italian Cooking. Now, we're going to be back with more of your calls and the New York Times' Melissa Clark. I'm Lynn Rossetto Casper. You're listening to our annual Thanksgiving broadcast, Turkey Confidential, from APM, American Public Media.
I'm thankful because you care. I'm thankful for dreams we share when you came along. I was born anew, that's why I'm thankful to you. Oh, I'm thankful for happy hours. I'm thankful to all the flowers that smiles up at us from underneath the dew. Darling, I'm thankful to you. You seem so far above me each time you said you loved me. A rainbow shoots across the sky. I've made quite a catch, and though I'm not your match, I'll do my best to satisfy. Oh, thankful baby.
Hi, it's Lynn Rossetto Casper with Turkey Confidential from The Splendid Table and American Public Media. Happy Thanksgiving. Today, it's kitchen help for cooks and non-cooks all across the nation. So give us a call. Our lines are open at 800-242-2828. And if you can't get through, get to us on Facebook, tweet us a question using hashtag Turkey Confidential, share your photos with us on Instagram. Just be sure to tag us. But right now, I want to check with one of our regular contributors, the man behind Leet's Culinaria, David Leet. We've got David on the phone. David, happy
yes.
Thanksgiving, dear.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, dear.
So tell me, what are you up to today? Do you have a gang coming?
Well, no, actually, it's interesting. We don't have a gang coming. We are a gang going. Because what we do is every year we alternate with our dear friends, Maddie and Janet, and we cook one year, they cook one year, and this is their year to cook. So we are guests at their house, but, you know, after 21 years, they know that there is absolutely no way on earth they can get away with making desserts. I must make desserts every year on Thanksgiving.
I didn't realize you were such a dessert maven.
Oh, yes. I'm a huge baker. That is truly my passion, is baking. And so I'm in charge of all of the baked goods. So I have done some lovely things to give to them for Thanksgiving and hopefully have some left over to bring back.
Okay, you know you're going to have to name names.
Of course I will. Well, first there is my pumpkin spice cake with maple cream cheese frosting. And I've been making this now. I developed it years and years ago, and it's wickedly popular on the site. And people have loved it. People make it into cupcakes and everything. And so that's something that's always requested. And on the site, we have a double layer, but I make a triple layer for Thanksgiving. And so,
nothing like overkill when you're doing overkill.
Exactly. So that is something that everybody requests and loves. And then I'm making a chocolate pecan pie, which is something everyone also loves. And then also, my partner, whom I call the one, will never forgive me if I do not make the classic pumpkin pie. So I make it, and it is right from the back of the Libby's can, and it's the only thing he will accept. And I have to say, you know, it is a very good recipe. I do use my own pie crust recipe, though.
You do? And
I do.
And you
absolutely
use the canned pumpkin?
I do use the canned pumpkin. Yes, I do. It's just one of those things from his past that he just has to have, or it's not Thanksgiving for him.
So wait a minute. Are you pulling all of this off right now? I mean, you've done some of this ahead, right?
I've done all the baking ahead. So we're just now chilling out and getting ready to go later this afternoon to dinner. And we have a friend of ours, which is exciting for me and especially for her. She is from Uruguay, and this is her first American Thanksgiving. So she is beside herself with excitement because she doesn't know what it's like. She's never experienced it before. And so I decided that even though we're going to Maddie and Janice, and he will have his side dishes and what they always do, I wanted to give her some of our favorite side dishes. So throughout the weekend, we're going to be rolling out. It's going to be a rolling Thanksgiving, if you will. And she'll be having lots of dishes throughout the weekend that I will make for her so she can really get a taste of what our Thanksgiving is also.
What's your absolute must-have dish?
Okay, well, I must have my godmother's French stuffing, or we call it French stuffing, but I discovered in Portugal it's very similar to a stuffing they use with turkey there, and it's potato, and it's pork, and it uses the liver of the turkey, and there are spices in it, and so that's a potato-based one, and you don't really stuff it, although we call it stuffing in New England. We don't stuff it into the turkey, and so I really, really must have that.
Is this mashed potatoes? Is it chunks of potatoes?
It's chunky mashed potatoes. So it really, parts of it kind of break down, and it gets a little viscous, and it gets a little bit soft. But there's bits and chunks of potato in there, too, with lots and lots of pork in there, ground pork and spices, and then the liver, which gives it a little bit of extra oomph, and there's onions, and there's garlic. Mm. And I'll tell you, it is so fantastic. I prefer it. Some people prefer the bread one. That's my favorite one, but we always like to have both when we have Thanksgiving so they can have their choice.
Sounds as light as air.
it truly is. Well, you know, the Portuguese, we really, really are a very light eating country.
I know. David, you have a fabulous one.
You too. I hope you have a great day today.
I will. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. David Lee is the publisher of LeedsCulinariaLCCooks.com. Chime in with your questions. You can reach us at 800-242-2828. Now, I've got one of our favorite down-to-earth cooks on the line. She's Melissa Clark. Her column, A Good Appetite, appears in the New York Times, and she's one of our contributors. Melissa, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Lynn.
How are you?
Oh, I am well. I am up to my elbows in pie dough, which is exactly what I like to be doing on Thanksgiving.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this because I know there's months of work at the New York Times to put together all the stuff you do on Thanksgiving. But in all of that, do you guys ever cover a vegan menu?
You know, it's funny because that comes up a lot. We have a lot of recipes that are not specifically for Thanksgiving, but that work for Thanksgiving for vegans. It's a very fast-growing audience for us, which is fantastic. And you know, the thing about it is, it's really not that hard to adapt some of your favorite recipes and make them suitable for vegans. I get a lot of calls, or actually a lot of emails from people who ask me, oh, I'm having my daughter-in-law and she's a vegan and I don't know what to cook. And I always say, well, you know, you probably can cook the same things, you know, obviously not the meat things, but the same vegetable side dishes that you usually cook with a few adjustments. You know, simple things like instead of using a lot of butter, use olive oil, use coconut oil, which is fantastic with sweet potatoes. Coconut oil, sweet potatoes are absolutely delicious. Another thing that I tell people is, you know, think about using, you know, rich, delicious things like avocados and nuts and, you know, all of those wonderful ingredients that go well with all the things that we're already having, like winter squash, for example, with pecans and dried cranberries, perfectly vegan, perfectly delicious.
That vegans are actually coming to dinner. And the people who are, you know, vegans kind of sometimes feel like they're pushing around the mashed potatoes and trying not to get any gravy on them.
I know.
This is this is great.
I mean, especially, you know, for people who forget, you know, there's, you know, we always have, we have a dressing on the side. We have our turkey and then we have a dressing.
Right.
And we always try to remember, like, you know, you have to take some of that dressing and you have to, you know, not use chicken stock, but you use vegetable stock and it comes out just as well.
Really simple. How old is your daughter, Dahlia, at this point?
So she's 6.
And is Thanksgiving problematic for her? You know, is she a picky eater?
Oh, you know, she's a very picky eater. And I was a little bit worried last year. She was not, so she doesn't remember. So she's 6, but she remembers last year as being a fun event with the cousins. And, you know, she remembers the family. She doesn't remember the food. And she wouldn't touch the turkey last year. Wouldn't touch it, even though she loves chicken. So this year, she and I, yesterday, we brined the turkey together. We did a dry brine. And
right.
We put garlic and herbs, and she, you know, I have a little deck outside of my kitchen, and together we went out on the deck and we clipped the thyme and the sage, and together we measured the salt and the pepper, and I rubbed it all over the turkey, and she was right there with me, and she was getting so excited about the idea of Thanksgiving and seeing her cousins and being with the family, and that it extended to the turkey. She said, I can't wait to eat the turkey, and I thought, oh my God, great, finally she's going to eat the turkey this year, so that's good. So we have high hopes. We'll see what happens.
If the Times gig doesn't quite work out, you could do the psychologist bit. Really, really great.
You know, I mean, you know, everyone knows their own kid. So I knew that the way to get her to eat something is to get her excited about the whole process.
Well,
she will eat the pie, though. That's no problem.
Well, that's great. That's great. How about applying some of that psychology to some of our callers?
Absolutely.
All right. We've got Fritz in Fort Collins. Fritz, what do you want to talk about?
Okay, so I'm having my first Thanksgiving with my fiance's family. They are all kosher. She is gluten-free, and I want to bring something in, at least some sort of side dish. I have no idea what to bring.
Oh, yes. Okay, well, the gluten-free and the kosher, that at least, you know, at least you don't have vegan in there as well, so you only have two to deal with.
Yeah.
Because we were just talking about vegan cooking. What do you think, Lynn? I mean, I think, you know, as far as, so if they're kosher and they're having turkey, you must stay away from any kind of dairy. So that's
true,
the first thing. So no butter, right?
But what occurs to me is sweet potatoes.
Yes.
I associate, again, I know there are many different Jewish traditions coming from different parts of the world, but I'm wondering about what you can do with sweet potatoes. For instance, instead of baking them, why don't you slice them, okay? And then, you know, and then put them in some boiling water. Slice them in rounds that are about a half inch thick. Drop them in boiling salted water. They'll cook in 10 or 15 minutes. You want them to have a fork slip easily in there, but not be falling apart. Drain them, and then you're taking this to Thanksgiving?
Taking it to Thanksgiving at her house. So
this
first
is
Thanksgiving you're done with them.
Okay, this is going to be a side dish that's served at room temperature, so you don't have to worry about borrowing oven space. But, Melissa, this is what I'm thinking. What about doing a sweet, sour orange sauce?
Oh, that sounds delicious.
And it's because I always associate, I'm thinking of the wonderful stuffed cabbage that's always that sweet, tart tomato.
Yep.
And I'm just thinking this could be equal, the same idea. Take about 3 cups of orange juice. Have you got orange juice, Fritz?
I do have orange juice.
Fabulous. Okay, you're going to chop up a couple of cloves of garlic, throw that into the orange juice, put it in a skillet, give it some black pepper and a little bit of salt, and then what you're going to do is boil it down to a syrup. And you're going to pour that over the potatoes. All right? That's it. And then take with you, what have you got that's green that you can chop up? Parsley, coriander, anything?
Hell, a lot of greens. So pretty much anything under rice.
Okay. Chop up something green and that has even a little crunch or a tad of bitterness even to it, and that goes over the top when you put it out on the table. And if you want to, another thing that would be fabulous would be nuts, toasted nuts.
That's what I was thinking. Toasted nuts are perfect.
Yeah. So, and that will give you something. It may be a dish they've never tried, but it's going to be very respectful. It's going to be utterly delicious, and it's a new take on sweet potatoes.
Excellent. Well, thank you both for the help. It's
you have
listening
a great...
to the show for a long time, so glad I was able to get on and get some advice and hopefully bring a good side dish to Thanksgiving.
We are honored that you called. Thank you, and have a great holiday.
All right, you do the same.
I just love the sound of that dish. That sounds terrific.
You know what?
If my husband wasn't making his famous sweet potatoes with bourbon, I would be making that today.
Well, the thing, it's my fallback. You know, it doesn't need to be reheated, and I can put anything on it. The last time I did a anchovy garlic vinaigrette.
That sounds up my alley because the sweet and then the garlic and the salty anchovy, to me, that is a perfect combination. That sounds great.
We have to have dinner together one day.
Absolutely.
Hey, we've got Matt, Melissa. He's calling from St. Louis. Matt, do you have a question?
Hi. Yeah, so my mom and I are doing a duck this Thanksgiving because we wanted to do something different. But I've never cooked duck before.
Ah. You're a brave man. I love it.
So, Melissa, you want to take this one?
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, I love duck for Thanksgiving. I think it's just, especially when you're having a small Thanksgiving, it's such an elegant presentation. It's just and it just tastes so rich and good. Okay. Here's the thing about duck. If you can, the best way is to get a really nice crispy skin, right, and to render some of that fat out. So the important thing here is that you want to pierce the duck skin all over with a knife, but not pierce the flesh. Once you've done that, you just roast it like you'd roast any other bird, but it's just piercing the fat all over. So you use your sharpest knife, and the trick to not piercing the meat is instead of pointing your knife straight down and going perpendicular to the duck, you want to kind of go almost like lay your knife next to the duck and go parallel. Just kind of slip it under the skin and make these nice long little incisions all over the duck skin. And that allows the fat to render out while it cooks. So you do that first. You make your little all over, lots of them all over the duck skin. Then you rub it down with salt and pepper. If you like garlic, you can add some mashed garlic to that. You can add some citrus zest. Orange zest or tangerine zest is fantastic with duck, you know, very classic. Rub that all over. Stuff the cavity with some smashed garlic cloves, a cut up onion, some herbs, whatever herbs you have.
And so would like crystallized ginger be okay in that?
Delicious.
Absolutely wonderful.
Fantastic. In fact, you can mince it up and just rub it right on the skin. Although it has sugar in it, right? The crystallized
it's going to burn. Yeah. It may burn. But if you put it in the cavity, and then, some in the pan juices. Why not?
Yes,
that would be
juice.
Great.
Okay.
And then another trick is if it's not browning quite enough, do it at a low heat. Do it at like 325 for a long time. And then at the very end, brush some honey on it and then crank up the heat to get the skin golden.
You want the breast meat, or the thickest part of it, usually the thigh meat, thickest part of the bird, to be at about 165. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, and it's going to be delicious. You know, a duck is what a turkey really wants to taste like.
I totally agree with that.
Yes, well put. You're going to like this, Matt.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
Enjoy.
Have a good holiday.
Yeah.
Eileen is, she's in West Bloomfield, Michigan, and she has a question. Is it... about the best, I'm trying to make this out. What's the best way of going about making a pumpkin pie? The recipe calls for evaporated milk. So,
yes, I have strong feelings about this, Lynn.
I gather. What are those strong feelings?
So, evaporated milk was a wartime staple because there wasn't enough milk. You know, that's why it was something that was created in times of need in times, and we don't actually need to be drinking evaporated milk anymore. We have heavy cream. We have sour cream. We have creme fraiche. Better to use a real dairy product that has not been processed. So just you can use the same recipe on the back of the Libby's can if you're using, canned pumpkin, but instead of evaporated milk, just use either whole milk, half and half, or I like to use heavy cream, or sour cream is fantastic too, and it adds a nice tang. So just substitute any other dairy product and skip the canned milk. You're going to have a fresher flavor. It's just going to taste better.
Hear, hear. I think you'll love it. Okay, Saul in Northern Kentucky. Saul, what's up?
Good morning, ladies. Happy Thanksgiving.
And you too.
I am calling because I have a really fantastic potato au gratin recipe, and I make it every year, and I always have this same issue where when I'm cooking, the bottom of the pan, the middle of the pan, everything is nice, delicious, well done, but that top layer of potatoes, I have to cook it almost an extra 20 minutes to make sure that that part of it's done, and I can't figure out why.
Are you covering that with the liquid that you use for the gratin?
Yes.
Ha.
Well, maybe the liquid. Do you cover the casserole dish with some foil?
Yes, I cook it for 20 minutes with foil on, and then it's supposed to usually only take 30 minutes with foil off, but I have to always do an extra 15 or 20 on top of that.
Right, right. I always think, what temperature are you cooking it at?
400.
Okay. You know, I wonder, Melissa, what do you think about the idea of slowing down the temperature and lengthening the time?
Yeah, you know, that could be, I mean, if you don't mind spending the extra time, but you have it cook more evenly, I think that's okay. A good bet.
I think that'll work. And make sure that top layer has the moisture that it needs.
Okay.
And then when you uncover it, it will brown. You know,
okay.
And you're having trouble getting it to brown? Is that one of the issues?
The browning's not the issue. It's just like...
It's raw.
Yeah. not even raw. It's just like still hard, I guess.
Oh, my.
Yeah, okay. Probably, you know, maybe... Probably your casserole dish is a little bit different from the one that whoever wrote the recipe used.
Uh-huh.
And so maybe what's happening is you're getting... The liquid is just cooking off too quickly. So although you start off covered, I mean, does it dry out on the top?
A little bit, yeah.
That's the key.
So it's not covered with liquid, and so that's the problem. So I agree with Lynn to lower the oven temperature. Keep the foil on longer.
And
then what you can do at the end is raise the temperature higher. So maybe you do it at 375 instead of 400.
Okay.
You know, keep the foil on until everything is tender. It might take you a little longer, then take the foil off. What do you think of this, Lynn? And then just like
yes,
raise it up
absolutely.
To 425, 450 for
yes.
the last 15 minutes just to brown
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah, because it's this business about deep dish, shallow dish. Everything cooks at a different rate. I think that'll work brilliantly. Okay?
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. And may it be utterly delicious, and may the entire Thanksgiving be utterly delicious for you.
Thank you so much,
ladies. You can reach us at 800-242-2828. And by the way, check out splendidtable.org to play Turkey Confidential Bingo. John is on the line from Lyme, New Hampshire. I'll talk bingo with you later, okay, Melissa?
Absolutely.
Hey, John, what's up? What do you want to talk about?
Hi, Lynn. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
We're doing a very big Thanksgiving dinner on Saturday with the whole family, which is traditional style. But today I'm roasting a smaller turkey. It's about 14 pounds. And I decided to go with something I think that's a little Asian style. It's been brining overnight with sugar and salt and soy sauce and a number of herbs. And I wanted to cook this turkey so that it's falling off the bone. I thought of slow roasting it, falling off the bone, and also brown. I thought I would rub it with some grated ginger, fresh ginger root, garlic, and maybe stuff a couple of onions in the cavity. It's not going to be stuffed.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering how I could get it like that, to have that slow roasted, falling off the bone, good flavor, and ultimately crispy at the very end.
I think this is a recipe for foil.
Oh, I do have a beautiful roasting pan too. It has a rack inside and it has a cover on the top that also has a.
Okay, now is it a deep roasting pan?
Yes,
Melissa. You think if he puts that cover on, essentially he's going to braise that bird?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. So, I would start it. I would put a little bit of liquid in the bottom. You know, maybe. What would be good with that? Do you have any sherry?
Yes.
You know, or Chinese cooking wine, obviously, but sherry is a good substitute. Dry sherry. What do you think of that, Lynn? Right.
I think dry sherry would be wonderful.
And then just a little bit in the bottom of the pan, and then cover it up, slow roast it. It's going to kind of steam and braise, and then at the end, take off the cover and then just blast it. But, you know, really go slow and let it just, let all the juices just kind of cook the meat it through with the steam and the juices and do it that way. I think that'll work.
I think that'll be wonderful because the idea is you want some moisture at the bottom that's going to create some steam, and the turkey itself will braise in those juices and its own juices. And then, but you may want to do this if you can without harming the turkey, is turn it on its side and you know, put on the broiler just to get it crispy. Turn it the other way, the same thing, and then do the breast. And if it looks like it's going to fall apart, then just get it back up and do the breast.
What would be the temperature that you would use, and about how long for a 14-pound unstuffed turkey, about how long would that take?
I don't know. I think about 325 to 350.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and you're going to cover it, and I think I would do at least 15 to 18 minutes to the pound. But you have to check it, okay? And you want it to be really moist and juicy. So, you know, if with that cover on, it's going to stay moist and juicy. But you want it to get to about 165, 170 internal temperature. And then you can hold it there as it continues to cook a bit.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And we listen to you every weekend. And I do want to give a shout-out to my wife, who is, in her own right, a fantastic cook and makes great pies and bourbon to pecan sweet potatoes.
That's lovely.
That sounds delicious.
And so have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you.
You too. You too. Thank you, John.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Melissa, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, Lynn, this was so fun. Happy Thanksgiving.
And to you and to the whole family.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Melissa Clark is food columnist for the New York Times, and she's a contributor here at The Splendid Table, and she's author of Cook This Now. Call us, 800-242-2828. Send us some Instagram pictures. Just tag us, okay? Your table, your kitchen, what you're cooking, what's going on. Okay, we have Will in Silver Spring, Maryland. Will, what do you want to talk about?
Hello.
Hello, Will. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi. Happy Thanksgiving.
And to you, too. What do you want to talk about?
Well, normally we listen to Turkey Confidential on the drive down to Harrisonburg, Virginia, to our sister-in-law, and she generously hosts us. But this year we are hosting, and we've received instructions from our sister-in-law that the turkey cannot be stuffed, that there's a danger of salmonella if the stuffing goes inside the turkey. So we just wanted to get your advice on that. Is it a danger, or can one stuff the turkey?
Well, first of all, never stuff a turkey with raw meat, okay?
Okay.
That's number one, because that's asking for trouble. Okay. Because generally, the stuffing doesn't get super hot. You know, it may get to 160 degrees
right,
if you use an instant reading thermometer. I like the juices of the stuffing. Okay, in the juices of the turkey going into the stuffing. But here's what I would do to play it safe and make her very happy. Take the stuffing, put it in a casserole, bake it maybe underneath the turkey for about an hour. What's usually in your stuffing?
We're gluten-free, so it's gluten-free bread.
Okay, because it could be potatoes, you know. It could be potatoes and greens. We talked about it earlier. Be fabulous.
Okay.
But the point is that you want to bake that, but this is what I would do. I would take some of the pan juices from the turkey and spoon it over the stuffing as it bakes.
Okay.
So it's going to pick up all that lovely flavor. And then even have some extra gravy so you can do a gravy number on the stuffing.
Okay.
Could be really fabulous. And she'll be happy and you'll be happy.
Great. Wonderful. Well, thank you very much.
You are welcome. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
We have Jennifer on Twitter, and she wants to know, can you recommend a wine pairing for lefse? Now, for anyone who's not familiar with lefse, it's a very, very thin, sort of a Scandinavian potato pancake. And it's a real art to rolling this out and to doing it in a skillet. And it's often served with butter. And then and for dessert with butter and cinnamon and sugar. So if you're doing a savory version, you know what's going to work either way is going to be a Riesling with a touch of fruit and sweetness to it. okay? Or a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc that has a lot of tropical fruit flavors. New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs tend to be very fruity, and then they have a dry finish. But either one's going to work. I favor the Riesling. It's kind of light. And thanks for a great question. And happy Thanksgiving, Jennifer. Okay, we have Michelle calling from Dubé Park, Pennsylvania. Did I get that right, Michelle?
Ethel Park.
Oh, my God.
Bethlehem.
All right. So much for correct and whatever.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And you too.
Quick question on making apple salad with raisins and nuts.
Yeah.
I noticed, I try and make it ahead of time, so I don't
right.
have, and I always use lemon to keep the apple from browning.
Yeah.
Is there anything other than lemon that would...
Sure.
That you can use so that it, then I put the mayonnaise on it too, so that's why I don't like the mayonnaise is the last thing that's on, but that's why I don't like to use the lemon.
What about a little vinegar?
Oh.
Yeah, a little vinegar would be fabulous. And the thing is, that gives it a little bit of spark, a little bit of snap with the creaminess of the mayo.
So regular apple cider vinegar then?
Yeah, apple cider vinegar is the most underrated vinegar in... That
well,
I know of.
I
mean, I think, no, I love it. I love it.
But so, I never thought of that.
Yeah, apple cider vinegar with an apple salad. I think that'll really work.
Oh, thank you so much.
See, we have a brain trust going here between me and you. This is going to work brilliantly. Okay, so problem solved.
Thank you.
Oh, you are welcome, and have a great holiday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. We have a tweet from Alvet. Dry brined the bird for the first time. Do I rinse it off? Yes, you do. And the thing is, if you want to, you're saying, what can I use beside water? let me count the ways. How about a little white wine, red wine? That wouldn't hurt. But the idea is, yes, when you've dry brined, where you've rubbed salt and seasonings into the bird and let them seep in over time, yeah, you want to rinse it off. But the real key here is to get it nice and brown. You want to really dry it, pat it as dry as you can, and even rub it with a little butter or olive oil to help it get crispy. So that's all you need to know, and it's going to be delicious.